There are many things that we all hope for. We hope for success. We may hope for happiness. We may hope for those six matching numbers that'll give us a lifelong of happiness, but only temporary, of course. We may hope for a short sermon, which will probably be around 30 minutes. No, just kidding. No. But we may also hope for a better future. And even though we know what the future is going to entail, because we can see the problems around the world, which we have been hearing about, for several weeks, several months, several years, and the problems just get worse and worse. In light of biblical prophecy and how things can develop so quickly, and we better make sure that we are prepared. But what we do hope for is what our purpose is. We hope to be in God's kingdom, to be like God, to be rulers, to be perfect, to have everlasting life. Is that something that we really hope for? I mean, the majority of the world doesn't even know about that or really believe that. But we do. And do we think about that constantly? We also may hope for new beginnings, as we pretty much do every year. And I'm not talking about January 1st with superstitious New Year's resolutions. You know, it's one thing if we make goals of how we are to better ourselves with whatever plans that we may make. But it's also another thing that we actually stick to it and not give up after a couple weeks or months. No, I'm talking about something far more important, a decision that we have committed to for those of us who were baptized and thereby partake of the Passover every year following. We start over fresh, for we know that we are not perfect, hoping that we do not continually stumble into mistakes that we have done in the past. And if we do, we have the hope and also the faith that we will overcome it. And these two things are vital for our success. Because we hope for certain things, sometimes thinking that we hope for or what we hope for may seem impossible. It's never impossible for God. In fact, it is quite remarkable how He intervenes if we let Him and put our trust in Him. However, if we already came to that conclusion that it is impossible, then it will be impossible. We have to think beyond that. We have to think like God. We have to think like Christ when He says to imitate me. Imitate Him in the way that He lived as a human being on this earth, perfect, without sin. And that is what we're supposed to be striving for. That's the way we're supposed to be living. And even though it is difficult, it is not impossible, though. We have to believe and we have to remember what God promises. Now, there are many examples in the Bible of individuals who did exactly that, Abraham being one of them. Now, even though he wasn't perfect, but he did what he could to live or try to live perfect and try to learn from his mistakes. But he was given a promise, and what he had hoped for came true. Notice Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, this contrary to hope is this human hope that he was having. But in hope, godly hope, is where he believed. And that's just it. You have to believe. And with that comes a lot more, as I will go into. Because he hoped, he also had to have incredible faith. To hope, you also must have faith. They go hand in hand. We see in the next verse why Abraham had the faith that he had in verse 19. And not being weak in faith, He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that the deadness of Sarah's womb, Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You know, I may have had that little bit of strength. You know, if you, in comparison to God's strength, yes, it is a little bit of strength. But it is that strength, or some kind of strength, that we need, which you heard about in the sermonette by Caleb Mitchell. Verse 21, being fully convinced what he had promised, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So God also had the hope in Abraham because of his belief that he would follow through. We also receive that hope to have that chance to receive everlasting life and to have our sins forgiven because of what Christ had done for us. Notice verse 24, same chapter. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Sure, there's many people out there that believe in Christ, but what does that even mean? What kind of a belief do they have? I'll go into that in more detail as well. We have to believe and continually believe that. And that is why we are reminded of that in every, or reminded that every year. Because we didn't witness it doesn't mean that we don't believe it. Many would like to see it with their own eyes before they want to believe something. We don't have to see things visually to believe. But what we read about in the Bible is true. And with hope and faith, we will be able to see it clearly. Now let's talk about faith in more detail. I mentioned earlier that in order to have hope, you must also have faith. Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 11, starting verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There it is. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This tells us what faith is. This is a strong confidence of what we hope for, and we will receive it without doubt. You can't hope for something if you don't have any faith. Also, faith alone is not enough because it also requires action. Again, there's many people out there who believe in Christ, but do they follow it with action? What do I mean by that? Notice James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If your brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And this is mentioned time and time again in these verses that I just read. Even the heading, faith without works is dead. How clear is that? Evidently not so clear to the majority of this world. You know, if we want to survive spiritually, and that's the focus right there, that is the key. Spiritually survive. We need to have faith, and we also have to practice our faith with action or works. And one way to do that, as we have already heard in the first message, is prayer. Highly important. James chapter 5 and verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13 through 18, we'll read. Is anyone among you suffering? That is an easy yes. There's always somebody suffering. But why? Let him pray. You know, it's also a test to see how we are going to react, how we are going to put our faith in God. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, through the suffering that we go through, it is also a joy, as we also read about. We have joy through sufferings. But God is always there to help us. And when we accomplish that, when we go through suffering and then don't suffer anymore, let's say, on whatever it may be, we should be thankful. We should be cheerful. Is anyone among you sick? Another question, the answer is yes. There's always somebody sick. We're not invincible. Again, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Remember, with God, everything is possible. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If you sin, we sin all the time. What do? When we sin, we should be asking for forgiveness. We should be trying to better ourselves. Yes, we're going to slip up. Not a given. It's normal that we go through that. But it's also God looks to see how we are going to better ourselves. Confess your trespasses to one another. Reconcile with each other. Pray for one another that you may be healed. We put out prayer updates. Why? So we can pray in numbers. Many prayers. Many avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much, like I just said. Going ahead of what the scripture says. Yeah. Continuing on, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is something that man alone can't accomplish. How can man do that? The point is right here, look how God can intervene, how he can provide. Nothing is impossible for him. Sometimes it is very easy to forget to pray. Mr. Mitchell confessed to that. But you know what? I'm with him on that. Sometimes I forget too. It is a test, one of the things we go through. Especially when we're frustrated about something. Or when we're frustrated with ourselves. The last thing we want to do is then right, feel that way. Sometimes you just forget to pray about it. We sometimes may think why God would even want to listen to us after we did something we know we shouldn't have done. That's probably one of the most difficult times to pray, when you know you've done something, but you don't really think about it at that moment, that you feel so bad. It's crazy when you think of it that way. You feel so bad that you don't even want to pray. Why would God want to listen to you? Because you know you disobeyed him. Prayer may also be difficult to keep up as a habit, to do it consistently every single day. You cannot just pray one time. It has to be a consistent thing. However, there is a lot of power behind prayer in any situation for anything. Even though God knows what we are going to say and what we do think about, and what is always on our minds, does not mean that we shouldn't pray. Prayer is for us, our chance to communicate with our Creator, to let Him know what we think about, and ask for forgiveness and healing, and ask for specific needs. Hope. Every time we pray, we also hope, right? We have a special connection with God when we pray to Him in private. And while we pray, we have the faith and belief that what we ask for, we will receive. Notice Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Again, something man cannot accomplish. These big problems that go on in our lives. And God will take care of it if we believe, if we pray without doubt. Notice also 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." And drop down to verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ." You know, you read a lot about knowing something. Now, we're supposed to be knowing this, right? But a lot of people who read this, I'm saying in our church, but I'm saying a lot of people in this world who read these scriptures, do they truly know what this actually means? It's through our good deeds and doing the right thing and also doing what we are supposed to be doing, we have to show that we have faith in God. Now again, as I have mentioned already, we shouldn't be praying with doubt. Even through the toughest of times. James chapter 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6. "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Don't expect to have your questions and your problems answered if you immediately start praying with doubt. You know, God has a plan in mind. He always does. And even if he doesn't answer our prayers in the way we expect it to, we will know in the future why it happened the way it did. It will always shed its light. It will always come to pass. God is far smarter than us, and he has a plan. We may not see it right away, if we're going through something, but we will in due time. Now, we already mentioned Romans chapter 4 and verse 18 earlier, showing again how hope and faith go hand in hand. But since we are in James chapter 1, let's drop down to verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Time and time again, we read about promises that God states in the Bible. We have to remember and never forget about that when we are in time of need. Our faith must also be in God, and we should never doubt God, because He knows what is best, and we should never doubt in what the result may be. Again, there is a specific reason why things happen to each and every one of us, and we should never underestimate God's power. Of course, we can't just sit back idly by and let Him take care of everything, and we don't do anything, right? No, we do have a part in this, and praying one time is not enough. As we must continually have faith, we also must continually pray. And I will continually repeat this, because it is that important. We know about David, and a lot of what he wrote about in the book of Psalms is prayers that he constantly gave. He prayed continually. He also learned a lot by going through certain trials in his life. Do we learn a lot by going through the trials that we go through? Is there a reason why we go through the trials we go through? He had to come to that conclusion the hard way several times by suffering the consequences of his wrong actions. And boy, did he sin. He sure did. But he realized it. And he tried to better himself. However, he always had the faith and the confidence that he would overcome his trials and that God was always with him. He understood that he had special protection from God, and he believed that God was with him. Notice Psalms chapter 91 and verse 2. Psalm chapter 91, and starting in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now this is something that he prayed about at his time, but this is also a prophecy for us, because these very things will happen. And if we have faith and trust in God and believe in Him and do what we're supposed to be doing, we will also be protected during that time, as he describes here. This is the same belief and the faith in God that we all must have. Another prayer I'd like to read is also found in the book of Psalms in chapter 6. And we'll read this whole chapter, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. And the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. Now, David went through a lot of anguish in his life as well. And here he prayed when he was in desperate need, but then he also had the faith that God will provide in any way possible. There are many different kinds of prayers in this book of Psalms. There's a prayer for guidance, a prayer for deliverance, a prayer for thanksgiving, a prayer with confidence, a prayer in time of chastening, a prayer for wisdom and forgiveness, a prayer to God in time of trouble, a prayer of repentance, a prayer for safety, and also prayers to do with rejoicing in an answered prayer. There are all kinds of prayers. That means it isn't limited. You can pray for anything. Do we sometimes forget to thank God if he had answered our prayers? Or do we just take it for granted? Notice Psalm chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 28 and verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock, do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. And verse 6 and 7, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. And notice also Psalm chapter 30, a prayer of thankfulness, where God had answered his prayer. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? Will I go down the pit? Or when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Again, during David's time, when he went through a lot, God had answered him many, many times, and he was thankful for that. Again, we can take this as a prophecy for us in the future as well, because God will provide for us. He will protect us in that time, and we will also be thankful, perhaps giving a prayer very similar to this. Yet another hope that we look forward to. We must always give thanks. Faith must always be continued throughout our lives. And we should never stop believing, especially when times are tough. Sometimes it may seem so tough that it cannot be handled. But that is not true. There is nothing that we can't handle. At least that's something we should believe, right? Notice Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, and starting at verse 35 and read to 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Our faith is tested at times to see how strong we really are. And I tell you, at times it is really tough and frustrating and scary. And that is human nature. It is absolutely normal to feel that way. But we should, or usually, come to our senses after a little while, and we start to look at the bigger picture, don't we? Do we sometimes wonder why certain things are happening to us? Is our patience being tested? Notice James chapter 1, something I already alluded to, James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And this is exactly what we should be joyful about. A lot of good comes with the trials that we go through. And a very interesting sentence. You tell normal people that, they won't believe you. But it is so true. A lot of good comes with the trials that we go through. Continue to have faith in God to overcome our trials, and by doing that, we continue to show God how much we love Him. And that is by keeping His commandments. And that is a problem that many people face because they do not keep His commandments. So how can they see any good through trials? We cannot love God if we don't obey Him. Then how can God in return love us if we don't obey Him? Do we hope for a better future? And that we will be saved? And that we can be a part of His family? Do we want all our problems to disappear? Well, then we better hope and trust and pray in faith and do what He commands us. And believe that God will make that happen for us. That He will provide whatever it is that we desire. So then, what about our future hope? Because we know how important prayer is, with faith, and that we should also pray for our future, since we know what it will entail, how should we be living right now? Do we have any bearing of our future outcome in the way we are living right now? Where is our focus, and where are our priorities? And we know that the delaying of Christ's coming can occur if God feels that we are not ready yet, or He is still waiting for us to change, to focus more on Him, to prepare ourselves for Christ's return. Notice 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There we go. We start to see that doubt coming into play. He said He was coming. Where is He? For this they willfully forget. Is also an ignorance, a willing ignorance, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Have people forgotten about that? What happened to this world with the great flood? Why did the flood happen? What was the reason behind it? Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Now, to put it in our perspective, look how quick 10 years goes by. You know, look how quick our lifetime has gone by. So in a sense, you see that similarity. To God, it's many, many years that go by, and it seems like one day. But things, like we say, things can happen so quick, and we better be ready. The Lord is not slack, verse 9, concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works, that is, the works of Satan, that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt away with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. See what he said there? This is a promise that God is giving us. So then why would we ask, where is Christ coming? If God promises what will happen in the future. Just because we do not know when exactly doesn't mean it's not going to happen. This is the hope right here, what I just read, that we must have. What we should be praying for at all times, to pray for his kingdom to come. But he also makes it clear that his patience will run out if he is not getting the response that he is also hoping from us. Notice Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And also look at verse 7. The flip side. Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And in contrast, verse 8. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And then in verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And time again, we read about the doers of the law. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, in the NIV states, so not to turn there, states that a man who remains stiff-necked, or in other words, stubborn, after many rebukes, will suddenly be destroyed without remedy, or in other words, or cure. That there's no treatment for that. So God's patience, yes, does run out. This is why it is so vital that we keep what we have until the end. And then, let me say, what we still have until the end, because we could lose what we have if we are not careful. Notice John chapter 12 and verse 35. John chapter 12. And in verse 35, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light. Also do it, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. A lot of this is hidden. Notice how darkness can completely blind you. And you easily forget what you once knew. There is always a chance, again, that we may lose what we have. Notice Revelation chapter 3. And verse 11. Mr. Mitchell had read up to verse 10. And then I was grateful that he stopped at verse 10. But I'll continue on. Verse 11. Revelation 3 and verse 11. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Now, if somebody takes your crown, then they have a chance, right? See, we have a crown. Boy, that's why we have to be careful that we still keep it, because someone else can take it. And we've seen this in the past in the church, where people have left, and then somebody new came in. The scripture isn't there just to read it. It has meaning behind it. And notice verse 12. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." And also notice in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 25. Again, "But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power or authority over the nations." This is a promise right here saying that he will come. Christ is going to come back. So let us continue having that patience and hold fast to what we still have. Don't let go of it. Do not quit. Continue to be loyal in the faith. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 1 for the last scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. "Once again, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Notice these are sound words. These are not empty words. They're not other words that have nothing to do with the Bible, with whatever God is teaching. "That good thing," verse 14, "which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." And this is why we have to continue to pray, to strengthen the Holy Spirit that is within us. For those of us who are baptized, which is a necessary step, which has to happen so we can receive everlasting life, Holy Spirit is something that we need to have strengthened. That's why prayer is so important, that we can't give up on that. You know, as the saying goes, hope for the best. And that is exactly what we need to be doing, because to endure until the end, to finally receive everlasting life as God beings and to rule with Him, is truly the best, a future hope we can all look forward to.